Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Everyone, thanks for listening to the Western Hunting and Podcast. This episode, I have Travis O'Shea talking about cow calling elk. We always hear all kinds of podcasts all about elk calling, and it's very superficial, just on some various challenge bugles or locator calls and that sort of thing, and a few sequences. I shouldn't downplay it. There's a lot of really good episodes out there, including mine have been like that. So this one, I want to dive into cow calls specifically, especially if that's something that calling elk is a struggle for you. I have no problem with either calls. And I learned some really good tips and some things to try. So I'm excited to test them out, as well as try out the Wapiti River elk calls. So we're excited to give those a shot. They look like they have the correct form that I need, with that really good bridge to it. So I'm excited to try those out. But it is elk season right around the corner, and so we're getting excited to get rolling with that. So thanks for listening, and as always, give my podcast a good review and follow me on Instagram, Facebook at Western Hunting Hub and Black Hills Antlers. Thanks. All right, Travis, thanks for jumping on the Western Hunting Hub podcast again. I looked, it was this time last year, October, or no, it's not October, yeah. August, August of 2022. And you came on, did a little bit of just some overview of some various calling. And
yeah,
we are T-minus, I think, 12 days for me going to Colorado, and you guys open here pretty soon too, right?
Yeah, we're Friday. I sent the wall tents all up yesterday.
Oh man.
25th opening morning, we'll be out there.
Yep. And just so the listeners know, where in Canada are you roughly?
We're up in I live in Grand Prairie, Alberta.
Yeah, so there we go.
And we, yeah, you bet.
All right. And then so last time, yeah, we just had some general setup, some general calling. And if you could just give us the 2-minute version of your calling style, just like,
oh, okay.
Like your elevator speech on,
yeah,
hey, how do you call elk?
Exactly. So most of my stuff, as you know, is bugling for the most part, except for early in the season. That's when I like to walk into an area. Like, I'm a scouting fanatic, so come opening morning, I know where the elk are going to be already. So I usually go into those little areas, and right off the get-go, I'll start off with one simple little cow mew, and nothing fancy, nothing crazy, just a little mew like this. Just your basic, you know, run-of-the-mew cow mew, and I'll just sit and wait for about 5 minutes. And then from there, you know, even if you're with your buddy, you know, make sure he's not wrestling around in his pack, getting his water bottle out, stuff like that. Just focus on the area that you just sent that call to. Literally give it five minutes, and then do another one exactly the same. So again, nothing fancy, just a cow mew. What that's going to do if you scouted the area and you know there's elk out there somewhere, the first mew is going to get their attention and their ears going to flick up and they're going to go, oh, okay, there's an elk over there. On your second mew, 5 minutes later, now they're focused in on you because they're waiting for you to make another sound. And basically what that's doing, that's going to either draw them over or they may be moving along with other cows and stuff, but it's going to give you an idea what's going on. So early in the season, it's pretty simple. It's cow mews. If I'm just hunting the general area, and if I'm going into another area that say, I know there's a herd bull in there and it might be his bedroom, that's when I'll switch to like more bugling stuff, but it's all really low key, just moans and groans and tree raking, stuff like that. So that's pretty early season stuff. Just because I'm trying to track those bigger bulls mostly aren't going to have cows quite yet anyways.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, the first 3-4 days of the season, that's a good time to draw a bull over because you've snuck into his little bedroom area and you do some tree raking and some moans and groans and, you know, the odd little chuckle. And whatever bull's in that area, he's going to want to come over and say, okay, well, who's in my area? I want to push this fella out of here. So that's kind of one of my other techniques. So one is cow calling. The other one is moans and groans, chuckles, and raking trees. So
perfect. That gets us kind of the baseline, yeah, to know what to start with.
Yeah.
And really, it's... Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. That's where most guys fail, because early season, everybody thinks cow call right away. Just cow call, walk, cow call, walk, cow call. Whereas, you know, if you stop and just hunt the area really slow and move progressively, you throw those sounds out, you're not having to like walk for miles and miles hoping to get an answer.
Yeah.
You can hunt those areas right in front of you.
Yeah. If you know there's elk there.
That's right. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. Yeah.
And I want to come back to that later of if we don't know, we need to cover ground if we don't know, but I want to get into that just in a bit. But also to kick us off is just really, it's a little too late to pick up your diaphragm and tube for the first time. And if that's brand new out of the package, you don't know what you're doing, probably a little too late to sound super great. And some people, or they just don't get it. They're tone deaf. They never took music class or just struggled with it, or some people just can't do it. So that's what I was thinking. Let's have a cow calling episode. Whether it's a diaphragm or an external read or something like that, we can still make some sounds, general elk sounds. Even I won't be carrying one, but a push button of some kind. At least some kind of cow call. We got to make some kind of noise in the woods in September. And I don't want to ignore the existence of our bugle tube, but we don't need to demo them in this, or it's not that they're not important, but we just want to focus on the cow call. So
sure. Yeah. Get everybody tuned into cow stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So hopefully we get some guys listening to this on the way to elk camp, and we're going to do that in the next week. So what are your physical calls that you have? I got a pile that I like to carry around. What are your calls?
So I'm kind of like you. I have a kind of a mismatch. I kind of buy everything under the sun. So my line, Wapiti line, I don't really carry a whole lot of external type stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't use them a whole lot, to be honest with you. They sound great. I mean, you can make them sound good. Most of my stuff is like a reed, and it'll be like a single latex reed, something really light.
Okay.
What you're going to see on any of the packages, if you go into the store, you're going to see cow reed, calf reed, young bull, anything like that. You're going to see that on the packaging. That really, what that means is it's a really thin latex. So you're going to be able to get those easy, immature sounds, you know, fairly quickly and easy. So like you say, those guys that are brand new to it, they're grabbing a reed on their way to elk camp at a store they happen to see as they're driving by. That's what they're going to want to look for, especially like a calf reed. In the Wapiti line, it would be like the Frolicker or the Sassy. something like that. They're really, really light latex. It's usually like a 25 thou thickness, and they're just really easy to operate. So how the reed actually works, I know, are you going to have this on YouTube or is it just over the radio?
No, I'll put it on YouTube.
Okay. So what you're trying to do with the reed, the latex there is what makes all the sound. And basically what you're doing when it's up in your mouth, you're blowing air across the latex and it's vibrating the latex. Once it starts vibrating, that's what gives you the sound. So the easy way that I can tell you how to learn it, if you're on your way to elk camp, put it on your tongue, keep the tip of your tongue down and arch the back of your tongue. So it's roughly, you're putting the reed kind of in the middle to further back, 3/4 of the way back. The further you can get it back without gagging and choking on it, that's what most new guys are going to have to get past. We all go through it. It's a gag tendency, and you kind of work your way through it as you get better and better. So basically it just goes on your tongue like that. And then all you're really doing, you're taking the air in your chest, and it's the warm air in your diaphragm. And I always tell people to hiss like a snake. So you're literally going, and your tongue automatically, if you hiss like a snake, you'll feel the back of your tongue come up and it'll almost touch your upper molars. But keep the tip of your tongue down. That lets the air go. The air will come up over, hit the bottom of the reed and come out. So the air is kind of flowing past the latex. So if you put the reed on your tongue, this in the middle, then literally hiss that air, you'll get this sound. So obviously it's not an elk sound, but all you're doing is getting that latex vibrating. Now from there, this is where your tongue comes into play. Keep that gentle air going. Don't increase it. Just keep it the exact same, just nice and steady. And start raising the back of your tongue up. And the pitch will go higher and higher. So. It goes all the way up and comes all the way down. The higher out might cut out on my microphone, so I'll do it away from it. That sound okay on your end?
Yeah, it's a little dampened, but I get the point for sure of being able to create different pitches.
Yeah, exactly. So from there, that's basically your basic sound to get you making some sound.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all coming out of your diaphragm. Just hiss that air. You're going to make this reed make some noise. And from there, it's just shortening it up. So you have that long siren that I was just showing you there. Just start shortening it up and you'll get more into your cow sound. So it's really short. You're just basically up and down, up and down. Ew, ew is basically what you're doing.
That's a great way of describing that.
Yeah, and that's basically your basic cow that you end up with. Now, to get to your calf sound, which is a very important call, I think every elk hunter should know how to make a calf sound. I believe it's more important than a cow sound, to be honest with you. So a calf sound, it's the same as your cow mew. You're just going quicker up. You're just, and you're not like dropping. On the cow mew, I'm dropping my jaw to get the nasally, The calf call, I'm keeping it up. So barely dropping down at all. So get that high note and then just kind of stop it. So you're. So you can tell right away that it's basically the little baby elk going, "Mom, mom, mom." That's all you're really doing.
So, oh, very cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was all pitch related. I didn't think of how long I was holding some of that. So that's good.
Yeah.
That's a good tip for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, you can get more into it, more in depth, but your average caller, that's really the only sounds you need to know. And if you notice, I did say the calf call, I thought personally was the most important sound, because if you make a calf sound out there, you're going to draw in other cows. The bulls are going to be following those cows. You're going to draw in other calves. You're literally pulling in the whole spectrum. So if your goal is to just put meat in the freezer and an antlerless tag is there for the taking, now you can shoot an antlerless elk, a cow elk, or a little bull that doesn't even have antlers yet. They're hard to tell. You got to see if they got balls on them. But there's lots like our zone here, it's antlerless during archery season. And so if it doesn't have antlers, it's legal to shoot. Then if you get into our bulls, well, they got to have three points or bigger. So it's 3-point zone, and the 3 points have to be 4.5 inches long. So you kind of know what you're going after there. But honestly, like using the calf and the cow sounds, you're going to call a lot of those younger elk in the 2, 3 points, the spikers, the other cows, the calves. But believe it or not, you're also going to call in some of the herd bulls as well. Because if there's a calf over there's other females over there, and they're all about the breeding. So if they hear a calf sound, they're going to check it out because mom's going to be over there somewhere, and they're going to steal her away for a little party. Right? So, yeah.
What
So very, very important.
one of the things I see people or myself when I'm not calling well is just getting that good seal, and you're getting some of that air blowing by. What's the tip to or trick to getting that better
So
seal?
the trick to that is, I don't know if you noticed. So this is my own read, my Wapiti River Outdoors lineup. I'll put it up close to you so you can see.
Yep,
There's
I can
actually
see it
notches
nice.
cut in it. So I got notches cut in it. What that does, it all your sides now fold independently. So it molds to the roof of your mouth. So the minute you throw it in, push it up there, and then you pull it out. Now it's the shape of my mouth
Without any
automatically.
wrinkles.
Yeah, without any wrinkles. So now the minute you hiss air out your diaphragm, it's automatically going across that latex where it has to go. It gets forced there. There's no way around it. And then what I find most guys do is they're blowing too hard on it. So they're trying to force the action. What I like to tell people is hiss the air out. Let the reed turn on and start doing the work for you. So, and I'll demonstrate that. I'll just put it in and I'll start hissing, and then the reed will automatically just start making noise. So, you can see I'm not hissing loud and forceful. Just let the air come out and then manage your read from there.
Yeah, that's a something clicked in the last few years where just letting that air that's coming out really create that seals. I was trying to force it before, and you get a lot of that blow by, and you can still make a sound, but there's a air blowing by, and it was not as natural.
And
But
it's even worse when you're standing beside your hunting buddy and your buddy's going, "Hey, do a sound, a call." It's like, "Oh, oh crap. Now you're under the gun. You're like, oh man, now I got to perform, right?"
Yeah,
So
exactly.
if you just think automatically, just think really light air pressure, let the reed do all the work for you.
Okay.
It's
Because
it comes on easier.
that'll be important, because sometimes that first sound, it's like, okay, I'm gonna make, just like you said earlier, I'm gonna make one good cow call. That could be really hard to do, but just one. You don't have a warm-up one to find the pitch, the tone, the volume, and you got to go right to it. So
And I'm glad you said that, Clint, because we all practice bugling. Like, we want to sound glorious and hit those high notes and be like the rock star that you want to be, right? But what most guys should be practicing is the cow and calf stuff. And honestly, what I practice in my truck while I'm driving is just that. As I'm driving down the highway, I'm looking out my side window, and you always have traffic going past you, going the other direction. So what I do, I kind of challenge myself. And one time it'll be cow sounds, the next time it'll be calf sounds. So I'll try to hit 10 in a row. When a vehicle goes by, I'll try to do a perfect mew. And then the next vehicle goes by, I'll try to do another one and try to get 10 in a row. So just... just try to hit them, just bang on, bang on, bang on, and then switch to a calf sound. And I find if people will do that, driving down the road, you have nothing to do anyways, right? So kind of practice yourself. What it does, it puts you under the gun. It puts pressure on you right away, because if you mess up, now you got to start all over again and get right. Try to get your 10 in. Right. It's easy for me to do it because I call a lot and, you know, you make practice look pretty easy after a while. But when you're new, you're only going to get to two or three and you're going to be like, that. And you have to be honest with yourself. You're like, you know, if that one was a good call or if it was a terrible call. And if it was terrible, back to number one, you go and start all over again. And you're going to find your calling and your ability to call and control your read is just going to shrink right up. And before you know it, you'll be just boom, 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 perfect every single time.
That's good. I got something to practice. Yeah. I've been having the calls in the on the car and the drive, but it's like, yeah, what do I need to practice? I don't really know what I need to. So I always like doing that with that same thing with my archery. It was today and the last week's case, shooting from my knees. I'm going to be shooting from my knees. That's what I'm doing. I know everything's good. Quit chasing a sight in. Just shoot from your knees. Now I can now I can add this in and is cow calls versus calf calls and see how many I can throw in there and
or yeah, just absolutely
have perfect cow call. One perfect cow call.
And the nice part is that puts you under pressure. So now when your buddy says, "Oh, do a sound, do a call," you've been under pressure with yourself the whole time. So you're just gonna whoop, you're gonna fire it out and it's gonna be like, "Oh, that was perfect. Awesome."
Yeah. So we have cow calls, a calf call, just a basic mew of each. What are some other notes that you hit on the keyboard and say, play this note?
So basically more getting past just your basic calf sound in your cow mew, you can do more of a longer one, and it's kind of more demanding. It's telling the rest of the herd to let's move along or let's do something and all you're doing is you're just making the cow sound a little bit longer. So a basic longer, you can just elongate a little bit more, almost like you're going to do like a longer bugle. You're just doing a longer cow sound. And that's more of an elk saying, you know, like, something's going on, come on over, you know, check us out over here, something like that. It's more demanding. It's like you saying, "Hey, come on over," or you saying, "Hey, come on over here," right? It's like totally different. It's one's nonchalant, one's a little more aggressive. So it's the language of the elk is basically different motion levels, emotion levels is basically how I think of it. And same with you get into the bugles and stuff. They just, the more shorter they get and more raspy, the more aggressive they are, you know, versus just a long two or three note location bugle. That's basically just, "Hey, how's it going? I'm Trav, I'm over here." Whereas you get growly and raspy, you're like, "Hey, I'm Trav, I'm going to kick your butt." Right. Yeah. Totally different. So, and you know, and so with the cow calls, it's just a little bit longer, more demanding. And then if you get into more of the higher end of the demanding spectrum, everybody calls it like the contact buzz or the estrus buzz. It's the top end of all your cow sounds. And literally you're doing a cow mew, but you're throwing your voice in with your throat, or you can sputter your lips. So with your throat, you're just kind of going, yeah, and with your lips, you're just kind of like kind of sputtering them. So with your throat, it'll sound like this. You hear the difference in the two?
Yeah.
And then if you want to do it through your lips, that's a little bit harder for most guys. So you get two different sounds there, you know. That one you do, if you do it with your lips, it's a little bit more aggressive. So. Just because you're forcing a little bit more air through past the reed, because you got to kind of make your lips do that flutter thing, right?
Yeah.
So
that's hard to add in for sure.
It is hard to add in. When I would say when you're first learning how to do it, try to do it with loose flappy lips, like almost like that. And then when you get better at it, you'll curl your lips in and kind of tighten them. And basically what that'll give you is more of a tighter kind of sputter. But I would say for the most part, just, you know, you guys learn with the looser lips and you're going to spit and you're going to slobber a little bit, but just swallow your spit down and carry on and keep doing it. And eventually you'll be pretty good. So,
well, very good.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com.
So, what is that raspier? That's just more of a, get over here kind of, or
yeah,
just more of an aggressive.
Yeah. It's more higher up in their emotion level. So it's just more demanding as you've went on, and you'll really hear it with normal herd talk as well. Like all the cows are going to be, ew. So it's just them kind of more talking, but really wanting their voice to be heard more. Or maybe she's talking to her calf and her calf is over there playing with another calf and not paying attention to mom. So she'll give a little more raspy one, like, ew, ew. And little guy knows, oh, okay, mom means business now. I better go back and see what she wants, right? Yeah. So,
yeah. And different from I'm ready to breed calls.
Yeah, see, that's where there's the misconception, because everybody talks about, and I did the same thing. Everybody calls it the estrus buzz, stuff like that. There's no sound that an elk makes when she goes into estrus. The only thing that changes with the cow is she'll start dripping and she'll start emitting a scent. And that's usually like 24 hours before she's ready to breed. And then once she comes in to that window where she's ready to breed, where she'll let a bull actually stand and she'll stand for a bull and he can actually do his thing, that's an even shorter window of, like, I believe it's like 10, 12 hours, something like that, where she's actually in ready to breed. And then so, but they don't make any special noises. Just normal cow mews and stuff like that. And just, she's just emitting that smell. And the bulls know it because they're scent checking all the cows, you know, as they're doing their thing. Once they zone in on that one cow, then they nose up to her and they're like, you know, they can really smell it then. So,
yeah.
So then they don't let off.
Yeah, exactly. And then the chase begins.
Yeah.
Let's go into some scenarios or frequencies of calling. So, I was telling you before we recorded that I find myself doing calls in threes, and it's like,
yeah,
I get my warm up one, I get another good one and another good one. Cause I always feel like I really want them to know that they heard me. I want to make sure they heard me. And not just like a stick breaking or like something over there.
Totally. Yeah.
But so I'm always, and then I was like, oh, I'm always doing in threes. I'm going to try four. Oh, five or six sounds way too much.
Yeah.
So what's your, give us a couple scenarios of, and we can do, it doesn't matter, early September, whatever kind of situation you feel makes sense.
Okay. So one thing I would tell you right off the get-go, knowing that you like to do it in threes, I would say, let the shape of your mouth control everything that you're doing. So that, and what I mean by that is when you do the first one, it's
closed lip.
You know, my lips are closed.
Yep.
Now on your next one, so I'll do three. See how all I did was just open my lips a little bit bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got three different sounds out of the same reed, and you're not that single elk out there that's just, you know, trying to make the same sound over and over again. Because a bull, he's going to hear those different sounds. He's going to be like, oh, okay, there's two or three over there. Well, that's worth checking out, you know, versus that one that he might have heard. Even though you did the same sound, it's way more better for him to check out three cows than to check out one.
Right. And in general cow talk, he's got cows mingling in general cow talk.
Yep.
We've all heard those calves that are lost and they're just mew, 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 mew. They're going crazy, walking around, just talking like crazy.
Yeah.
They don't take a breath, but the cows, are they, it's hard to say, I try to think back to different interactions I've had with cows where, because there's always more than one. So it sounds like, is that one cow doing blowing two different mews, three different mews, or is it just is it a single mew for each one of those cows? It's, what do you think each one is giving out?
Exactly. I think it's honestly like you and me have our own voice. I think every single one of those cows and calves, I think they have their own distinct voice as well. So once you start mixing in three, four, five, six different cows and calves, now you're hearing that herd talk where it's all different sounds. You know, you got, you know, you can throw in different sounds. Now you got five or six different cows. I don't necessarily do that when I'm hunting and stuff. It's usually just one cow mew, let it rest, and then do another one. I find most guys are gonna overdo it, and they're gonna be like doing way too many cow sounds repetitively, I guess you could say it. And especially if you're walking in on the game trail or something and you're doing the exact same cow mew every time, it's kind of counterproductive, because what's going to happen is, this is kind of getting more into the tactic side of it, but if you're moving through the bush and you're moving into a herd of elk that you don't even know are there, the minute you go, those cows in that herd that are up ahead of you, maybe 100, 150, maybe 175 yards, they might hear it. They're all going to go, oh, there's another female coming down the trail. What's going to happen is they're going to round up the herd cow. The lead cow is going to herd up her girls, and they're actually going to go away from you. And where that's really bad, unfortunately, they're pulling their bull that's with them. he's following those girls out the back door. And now he'll still probably bugle to you, but it's going to be from 200 yards away. And then you'll move up closer. You think, okay, I'm pretty close. I'll call to him again. Now he's 300 yards away. And every time you call, those girls don't like you. So they keep going away from you and away from you and away from you. And you think you're going to catch up to them, but elk have four-wheel drive and they just keep moving and moving, and they move fast. Yeah. Right? Like one of their paces, like three of ours. Yeah. So what's the
trick in your mind to not push those cows away?
The trick in my mind would be walk down that game trail and give a calf sound. And you could do it over and over again, like you like to do in two or threes, or just do one. So, make it more realistic, you know, do some a little bit higher, a little bit lower, you know, space them out a little bit longer, even though you're doing a calf sound, just make them just a hair longer than a normal one. So
I'm kind of picturing a scenario where you're getting the attention, you're working the cows, because the cows,
yep,
that lead cow is the one that's going to drag everything away.
Yeah.
And so you're working the cows, but then after you hook the bull, like if you can hook the bull into what's going yep. on,
yeah,
then you could probably switch into some other mews, right?
So let me put you into a scenario that I ran into last year. Literally, me and my buddy Dylan, we walked up into this ridge, and we literally had like three or four different bulls that were bugling, and we're like, okay, we had the wind all right. And I was like, well, that bull's bugling down over there, you know. So right off the get-go, if there's three or four bulls bugling, that tells you right away that there must be a hot cow somewhere. Because bulls aren't going to bugle just for no reason. But the minute that one of those cows starts dripping, coming into estrus, now all those bulls want to be standing up there trying to get her attention, saying, hey, I'm awesome. Look how awesome I sound. Come breed with me. Well, the whole time she's got her herd bull already, because she picked him already. So he's going to be down there bugling. You'll have these two or three other satellite bugles going around him trying to get her attention. They're not screaming at the bull. They're bugling to the girl trying to sound awesome. So what's going to happen, and this is exactly what we ended up doing on this herd bull, three or four bulls bugling around, we moved in there, and I set up, and I said to Dylan, well, let's just do calf calls back and forth. And so what ended up happening, those satellite bulls, they're still trying to impress all the ladies. But the minute you start making sounds, cow sounds, calf sounds, those satellite bulls, if you're just after a meat bull, you're going to draw those in really easily. So that's literally what we did. We're about, from the herd bull and his cows, we were probably 125 to 150 yards by the sound of it. Like, they weren't very far. And we just set up about 80 yards apart, and we started going like this back and forth. And we did a little skit for about 2 minutes, and then we went totally silent. Nothing happened on the first little skit. So do your calling for about 2 minutes, and then we waited. We waited about 5 minutes, and then we fired up again, and we did another 2 minutes of calling back and forth, only with the calf sounds. And lo and behold, coming up the trail, a little calf. She was coming to check out, oh, there's a little friend over there. I'm going to go have a look. So that calf came over. Dylan was still peeping off the side because he could see the calf coming. I totally went silent because this calf was now like coming down my trail, and was like, it ended up being like 10, 12 yards right in front of me. And so Dylan kept it talking, and lo and behold, it started talking to Dylan. Well, this is perfect. Now we have our own natural decoy right in front of us, and it's a real elk. So it was doing its little calf talk. And then all of a sudden we heard from over off the far side, we heard one of the satellite bulls pipe off, and he's like, you know, and all of a sudden, like 10 seconds later, he does another one. he's coming up that exact same trail that this calf just took. So by now this calf had walked past me and it's over in Dylan's lap at like 30 yards. So Dylan just kept playing with it and the calf just kind of moved off to the side and it stayed there the whole time. And this satellite bull came walking over, took the exact same trail, walked right past me at like 11 yards. Nice giant 5x5. Awesome bull. You know, if you're just, that's what you're wanting to shoot. But we were just kind of playing with him and throwing out this calf scenario. And then after this, the 5x5, he went by and he circled back around to where he came from. Then off to the side, because the 5x5, when he was up playing with us, he let out a couple of bugles of his own. Well, lo and behold, when he bugled, he drew in the herd bull that was down the ridge. And the herd bull actually came in behind me to my left. And he kind of caught me off guard because I'm facing this way, you know, playing with its 5x5. And then I look over my left shoulder and there's the herd bull standing at like 70 yards behind me. I'm going, oh crap, he's got us now. But so we didn't get a shot at that one, but that can show you what happens with only calf sounds. That's the only sounds we were making. There was no tree rubbing. There was no bugles. There was no cow sounds. Calf sounds back and forth was all it was. So we drew in the calf, we drew in the satellite bull, and we drew in the herd bull. So had we had a shooter over here that was ready, he probably would have shot the herd bull. Honestly, I thought the herd bull sounded like he was going to come along and take the exact same trail that the calf and the 5x5 took. But he didn't. He kind of slipped in through the other trees secretly. So, but normal elk, in a normal occasion, they're going to take the same trail that the other elk before them took. It's just rule of thumb. They're going to take the same trail. So if that calf goes by you and you didn't really have a good shot at him and you need to move or something, that's your time. That's your little window to move, get in a better spot for a more broadside shot or something like that. And then wait it out and just let the bugles do their thing and listen to him as he comes. So, but that's kind of one little instance, you know, as close as last year that it worked awesome with. You know, so
wow. And then does your tactics team, when was that in September?
That was fairly late. That was, I'm gonna say around the 18th of September in that area. So okay. But you can honestly do that right from opening season right through mid September, late September. You could do it even into October quite easily. You're just playing on those instincts for other bulls to want to breed. And so those cows, they come in for that 12-15 hour window. If they don't get bred, now it's another 20, 21 days before they come back into estrus again. So you'll be able to play that whole scenario again. So that puts you in, you know, if they came in late August, early September, now they're coming back in, say, the 25th of September, something like that, 20th, 25th. Now they're going to do it again. Now they're going to come back in around the 15th or so of October, you know, just keep spacing it out. Yeah. And those cows will do that until they get bred. And the cows know when they take, because they won't go into estrus anymore. But up until the time that they take, they may get bred by five or six different bulls. You know, it's not necessarily the herd bull that's doing all the breeding. You know, he's just a bull. He can breed four or five times and then he's got to go take a break. You know, he's got to rest up. The boys are tired, right? So he goes and takes a break for a day or whatever it takes him to recuperate. And then the next bull in line, that's why you have the pecking order of those other satellite bulls. The next bull that sounds awesome and the cows choose, well, now he'll go in, he'll do his breeding four or five times. Well, now he takes a break because he's spent. Net one of the other bulls comes in. So it's just a never-ending cycle. You know, honestly, that one cow might get bred by three or four different bulls. So
fascinating. I had heard some research too, how deer too will get, they not just bred by different deer, they'll even, if they end up with like twins, they could even have those from different bulls or bucks anyway.
Different bucks,
which I'm sure it's the same kind of deal with elk, which It's just fascinating. Oh, yeah. That's yeah. fascinating.
Yeah.
So do you have a scenario of when you know where they are and you walk in and do your single mew? When that has been brought in, little bull, big bull, doesn't matter.
Yep. Yep. So for that scenario where I know there's elk and like, say I've heard the bull bugle. Well, then it's pretty easy. Literally I'm a creature of habit. I like to get on game trails and I like to be on game trails so I can slip in nice and quiet and kind of walk in there and get really close to them. But if I hear a bull bugle, I try to even get closer than normal. Like normally if you think you can smell elk or whatever, you're probably 100, 150, 200 yards away. That's when you'd throw out a cow call. But in the instance of hearing a bull, now I'll try to move in even closer. If I can get into like 90, 80, 70 yards, something like that, the closer you can get with an elk, the minute you make an elk type sound, now automatically whatever elk is over there, whether it be a calf or a cow or a bull, he's got to either make a decision. Okay, am I going to go away from this sound or am I going to go check it out? So in all our hunting, the closer you can get to an elk and throw out a sound, it pretty much makes them come searching for you. So, but if you try that at 150 yards, now they can make the decision, oh, I don't really like the sound of that, and I'm going to go the other way, right?
Yeah.
So
there's a little barrier in there of getting in there. Yeah, there a little way, so you just sound like another one that's in the herd.
Yes, yeah.
Instead of a new person coming into the herd.
Yep, exactly. And that again is going to be where your practice comes in, because that one cow mew that you do or that calf call, it's got to be realistic, because you're trying now to fool that bull that was just bugling, and if you speak out a note and it doesn't sound proper, you might just turn him into going the other way. Versus, dang, that's another calf. I'm going to go see what's over there, right? So,
yeah.
It's kind of twofold.
So here's another scenario, possible scenario. Colorado's going to be nuts this year, I feel like, with overcrowdedness. And it'll probably be our last over-the-counter season for my dad and I there. We'll be looking at different options in the future. So I have a feeling plan A, B, and C are going to really start to struggle. And we're going to be 3-4 days into this saying, okay, now we're going on to, we're pulling things out of who knows where. So when you don't know where those elk are and it's that early season, we get a little warm and they're only actively calling during those early mornings, late evenings, overnight, that sort of thing. And we just can't find them. And we're going to try to move into a spot in the evening and to look for some. How are you doing that without, like you're saying, getting those cows to gather up and get out of there?
Yeah. So what we do here, honestly, because we have logging roads, oil lease roads, we do a lot of calling at night just to try to find, try to locate a bull, because if you can find elk at night, they're in their feeding area already. So they're going to be there until the gray light of the next morning. Once it starts getting that light coming on, darkness starts fading into light, they're going to start evacuating the pipelines, the cut blocks, all the cuts, all that stuff. They're going to start going back up into the darker timber and getting into safety, really, is what they're doing. So what we do a lot, it's dark here by probably 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, starting this time of year. And so we'll be out there for like 10, 11 o'clock at night. And you can either do it with cow sounds or you can bugle. For the most part, most times we're bugling. But if you wanted to do it with cow sounds, that's when I would introduce my voice and do more of a demanding type sound. So, and this one, I'm trying to project it out a little bit longer and louder. So I would throw a little more air across my reed and a little more pressure with my tongue to get the tone up higher. So it would sound probably something like this. You can tell I'm pushing a lot more air, trying to get a lot more volume, because you're trying to reach out over in those cup blocks or down in that pipeline or down in that draw where they might be feeding and watering. And then literally it's just a matter of sitting there waiting, hoping you get a bugle back. If you do, great. Mark that spot on your, you guys use Onyx there.
Yep.
I'm assuming most of you guys.
Yep.
So mark that spot on your map as to where that elk should be. And then once you get an answer, jump back in your rig and go try to find another elk. So that's my whole goal, is try to find two or three in the evening. Cause now what you're going to have to do in the morning, you got to get the wind right. So if for some reason the wind isn't right for elk number one, now you have a fallback to go to number two. And if the wind still isn't right for that one, maybe elk number three that you found, maybe you can play the wind and get out on that one. So don't just head back to camp after you find one elk and go, okay, awesome, I'm going to get that bull in the morning, because it might not happen. You know, weather conditions just dictate what you can do and what you can't do. And then, so basically what, you know, after that, we'll leave camp at like 4 a.m. and start heading into that area and checking the wind, make sure the wind's all right. That's when it goes into, if you're listening carefully, you're going to probably hear other elk sounds. Cause if they're making elk sounds, you know, early in the evening when you bugle to them, that sometimes fires them up enough to keep them going all night. So as soon as you get out of your rig and you start walking into that area, really be paying attention and listen for elk sounds. And once you get close, even if you want to test it and throw it another bugle or throw it another cow sound and see what you're dealing with, see if you get a reply. Once you get a reply, that's when I like to go silent and move in, you know, try to find a game trail that's kind of leading that direction, if at all possible. And just, you know, slowly work your way to that bull until you get, you know, I try to break into 100 yards at least if you can on them. And then from there, you can start doing your calling scenarios. You can just start with raking a tree. You could start with a little calf sound. You can start with, you know, chuckles or moans and groans. Just really depends what you feel like doing that day. And that's kind of how I do it as well. Sometimes I just want to bugle, and other times I just want to rake a tree and just see what happens, you know.
Yeah.
People forget about that raking a tree thing right off the get-go. I guess because people don't realize what raking a tree means. So when you start raking a tree, it means you're a bull that it's moved into an area, and now you're kind of advertising to any of the other female elk that might be in that area. So by you just doing that sound, you're perking up the attention to all the cows and calves that are in that area, but you're really getting the attention of that bull as well. Cause the minute one of his cows starts working her way over to check out who's raking the tree, that bull is going to cut her off, and then he's going to come out and he's going to push you out of the area as well. So
yeah,
raking a tree is very, very important, and it's something you don't have to practice it. Anybody can do it. You can take your kid along and say, okay, little dude, you're the tree raker, you know, give him a stick and let him rake the trees. You know, they have fun. Just tell them to make noise, you know?
Yeah.
So,
This definitely had some fun scenarios with raking. Doing some, I just have to quit in time. I had a very big bull come in, sneak in on me, and I didn't know he was 15 yards away until he blew out. And I just watched his big old 6x6 rack just taking off. It's haunted me.
So I do have kind of a rule. I'll kind of rake for about 30, 45 seconds, and then I'll take a break and I'll wait for a minute or two. And while you're just waiting, I'm scouring the areas, you know, making sure nothing's sneaking in like you did. Mm-hmm. And if nothing, then go back to it, do another 30, 45 seconds. And then stop again, because your whole thing is, if you're hunting elk, you have to have them on their toes. And basically what I mean by that is, if they look over in your area and they catch any movement, they got you busted. So when you start raking trees and then you stop for that, you know, minute or two, don't be moving around and wrestling and doing stuff and, you know, moving, and just stand still, get up beside a tree and just stand there and literally just let your eyes kind of like scour the areas. And because when you're raking, if a bull's coming in, 9 times out of 10, I guarantee he's going to be silent, but he's looking for that movement to see where's that bull, because he wants to catch them before you see them, is what it is. So,
yeah.
So really be wary with that. And if you do see a bull coming, well, obviously don't start raking anymore. Just slowly grab your bow and get ready, because that elk, he's going to keep coming and he's going to keep searching that whole area, you know. Wow. And they can zone into that sound, just like if you make a sound, they zone into that tree that the sound's coming from. Definitely raking a tree, they're going to zone in exactly to where that sound's coming from as well. They're going to end up walking right past you, and they'll literally walk right past you and they'll do a circle and they'll go back to where they came from. So,
yeah, know, he was walking away. He was all by himself. It was early season and walking away. And I was like, oh, let's just try calling at him. Go over there, Dad. Just stand behind that tree. It's wide open almost, except for the little cuts and things. And he kind of dipped down into an area and we lost him. And I never saw him turn towards us. He just kind of dipped down in one of those little draws and then somehow ended up where I didn't see him and was there just suddenly. So that one hurt.
that's just a bull being sneaky, you know. It's just no like kidding. when they crest over the top of that hill, just their eyes are kind of looking above it and they're scouring for any movement whatsoever. So and he'll fool you. He'll go down in that little draw and then he'll come up at a different spot. And then he's looking from over there, right? It's like, oh yeah, they're pretty tricky.
Yeah. So what do you got lined up for this fall? You obviously got tents set and you're ready to hit the woods here on Friday.
Yeah. So we got a lot of you guys down in the States, you probably heard of the Elk Bros. Mm-hmm. So there's a group of six guys and they're called the Elk Bros. So three of them are from Texas and three of them are from New Mexico. So those guys are coming up. They're actually leaving the 23rd. Three of them are driving up on the 23rd. They'll get here on the 24th. And then the other three are flying up. And so they'll all get here on the 24th. And from there, we're going to, grub up and basically head to the camp. And from there, we'll be ready to rock opening morning of the 25th. And we're going to hunt right straight through. Most of them are staying till September 4th. And then depending on how many tags they tag out or whatever, Joe and Chav and RC might stay a little bit longer. They might stay a couple extra days kind of thing and enjoy the Canadian wilds.
Yep.
See what happens. And then from there, I'm pretty open the rest of September. It's, you know, I do a lot of solo hunting, so I'll probably go chase some bulls on my own. And I like to try to fill them and get, you know, close in shots and stuff like that on my own. And it's a chess game. And I just love playing the chess game. It's a lot of times I honestly don't care if I shoot an elk. I just want to play the game. And if it's catch and release, you call them into 15 yards and watch them walk away. I'm good with that. Or if you take a buddy with you and he gets a shot at 15, 20 yards, awesome. That's great, right? So, but every elk's just so different. And I love playing the game with them. And if you can be on their territory and try to win against them, I mean, that's the smartest beast on the planet. So you're trying to match wits with them, right? So yeah, it's pretty fun.
Yeah. With that, I guess, where could people pick up some Wapiti River calls?
Sure. Yeah. So you can, on the website, mostly it's just WapitiRiverOutdoors.com. And Wapiti, well, most people don't know, but Wapiti is the native name for an elk.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's, so Wapiti is WAPITI, and then just River Outdoors. And just, they can order online just like anywhere, like Same thing as you're ordering Rocky or Phelps or whatever. Just go online, do your order, and I make all the reeds myself. So every one of these is hand stretched by me, and I package everything here and I ship it out in the mail, and you'll be rocking and rolling, ready for the season.
Awesome. That'd be great. So I'm loaded up, but let me put in a quick order here and see if I can't get them here in time. Getting things from Canada is always a little trickier. It takes some time to get it over the border, but
it does. Yeah. But, so what I'm doing for the guys in the States, I have Joe. So I'm one of the coaches on the Elk Bros.
Okay.
So the Elk Bros have an online of course, basically on calling elk, scenarios, strategies, you know, tactics, all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And so guys can go on there and sign up. And I'm one of the coaches that does some of the sounds, the bugling. And so guys can get a hold of us and learn all these different facets to it. And basically, so I've set Joe up. He's got a pretty good selection of all my calls. So anybody that orders and they're from the States, I have them shipped directly from Joe at the Elk Bros, and he's in New Mexico.
There you go.
So you'll, as long as he hasn't ran out, he's getting pretty short on some of them.
Sure.
But you know, I can send you the ones he does have, and you'll see those in 3 or 4 days versus me sending him from Alberta. It'll take probably 12 or 15 days from here. It's a nightmare.
I know.
But Joe's awesome. You know, as long as we catch him before the 23rd, because they leave early in the morning.
I'll do it right now. I won't leave my desk.
Okay.
And this episode's going out tomorrow.
Awesome.
Tomorrow morning at 2 a.m. So
perfect.
Let's put him to work for the next 2 days. And it's funny thing is, I just sent them sent Elk Bros a message on Instagram just literally right before or after yours or something like that.
Yeah.
So I know my answer, they're busy. They'll be getting ready to roll, but I'll maybe have to catch with them afterwards.
Joe's pretty good though. You know, he'll probably try to squeeze you in no matter what. He's a really good dude. They do their own podcast called the Blue Collar Elk Hunting.
Yeah.
And but they're all really good dudes. They like having fun. You know, that's what it's all about. Meeting people, having fun, calling elk in and going to elk camp, you know.
Yeah.
There's nothing better.
What's your favorite one, or one I should try and get ordered?
So my favorite one is it's a yellow one called the Frolicker.
Okay.
And believe it or not, it's actually a calf freed. And then the next one above that is called a Sassy, and that's the blue and pink one that I'm using right here. So go with the Frolicker or a Sassy. And then I really like one of my bugling reed is called the Chuckler. And then I like the Reaper is pretty much my go-to. The Reaper is the thickest latex reed that I make.
Yeah.
And so it's for like hammer and bugles and lip balls and getting into all that awesome stuff.
Well, awesome.
Yeah.
I want to thank you. Thank you for jumping on, doing a quick episode with me. And I feel like I got some practice things that I want to work on. A couple of good things to wrap up the next week and a half before the season. And so the good points of action for me to hit.
It's always good to have little plans in place, Clint, you know, like little practice quotes and stuff like that. I find it'll really help with guys. You know, they start doing it when they're passing the vehicles on the highway, and their calling is going to go to a whole new level. And I'm sure you'll see it as well, Clint.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, so. Well, thanks again. I appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks, Clint. Thanks for having me on. Got a D to the land, but it ain't my ground. This is God's
country. Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Every Monday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.